live from his kitchen in his two-bedroom apartment. This is Head in the Sand with Jonathan Bautista.
And welcome everybody to the 20th edition of Head in the Sand. My guest this week is actually a returning guest from last week. Said we were going to go over the WrestleMania results, and we will, but I'd like to introduce everybody back to the show, Mr. John Pingle.
Hi everybody, how's it going?
Or at Team Hate. Did you hear Josh's podcast where I gave a shout out to you?
No, you know what? Because I saw him. We made a transaction recently, and we'll talk about what he said to me as soon as he saw me, which was really funny. We'll talk about that later. Okay. And I have yet to listen to the podcast, but I have it. I just haven't listened to it yet.
So just going off subject real quick before we start, how is it that you have more Twitter followers than the Five Count guys?
Dude, they give me crap about that all the time. They say I'm talking to the wall, and they have a show and they can't even get enough followers. I don't know. I've been on Twitter since 2008, I think, maybe a little earlier than that. And I just, a lot of it, half of it's Met fans and half of it's like wrestling fans. It's just a bunch of, I just use the pound sign a lot, as the Five Count likes to say.
Nice.
Not the hashtag, the pound.
The pound sign, because that's what it originally was called. Just for everybody, disclaimer, full disclaimer, Raina is getting fed right now by my beautiful wife, Jessica, who is sitting in the same room, who is now eating. What is she eating? Peaches. Peaches. She's eating peaches.
So, oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, it is adorable. She's just staring at me right now, wondering who I'm talking to.
Oh, she'll know.
She'll know. So just want to let everybody know that. So we're going to go ahead and get into WrestleMania. Now, my initial, what was your rating of the show, John?
Oh, because you and I had a little, we just talked about it. I believe I'd say 8.5, 9.
Okay. And I said on Twitter to John.
7.
I said 7. Now, let me revise that. I will go back and revise that because I rewatched the show. I'll agree with your 8. I agree with your 8 for a number of different reasons. We'll go match by match. We'll actually get into the first the tag match on the pre-show. Did you like the tag match?
Now here's the problem with that. When you call Costco and you say I want 4 pizzas and they say we'll have it in 30 minutes. And it takes them 50 minutes to get you your pizza. Sometimes you miss pre-show matches.
But you can pull up the network on your phone, right?
I can. So I saw a little bit of it. I thought it was really cool that they made it an elimination match. Because I think at first it was, a fatal four-way?
Yeah, I think it was a fatal four-way.
And then they made it an elimination match, which I thought was great. I didn't see a lot of it, but I saw enough of it. To know it was really, really good. When I came back home, everyone that was here said it was really, really good. So, and I know that we saw the breakup of the Real Americans, which is something we've all been kind of clamoring for and waiting for.
Well, yeah, it's. I don't think it was the full turn already. It wasn't the full turn already because that came up the next night.
Oh yeah, that's true. That came. It was like we were there though. We were basically there.
Yeah, so that a good match. I thought it was a good showing from the teams in that match. Cesaro, you can tell they've been meaning wanting to split him up for a while. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with him being a Paul Heyman guy now.
Yes, the best, dude. I popped for that so hard.
So going into the show, did you do the stream or did you actually buy the pay-per-view?
We did the stream. And we did it in both rooms, which is something we probably will not be doing in the future because it was a little choppy. I think we're the only people that had problems just because we were doing that. We were streaming on two televisions.
Yeah, because I think your all your resources are getting pulled to both streams, and it's going to give you pulled. It's streaming in HD, so it's going to give you problems. Especially, is your router newer or older?
The one I had was old, and I had replaced it with a new one after the fact. Okay. So we might try it again, see at Extreme Rules if we can do that. We just did it because we had like 15 like 18 people over. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So going into the first, I guess, match, I mean, it was a match that you said it was going to start it off, our last conversation, but Daniel Bryan versus Triple H.
Indeed.
Wow. I've never seen Triple H work as hard as he did with, or put over as Bryan as much as he did.
Yeah.
In a long time. I mean, him throwing, is it a tiger suplex? The double underhook German?
Oh, I couldn't believe that. I went nuts for that. Yeah, it was that's a tiger suplex, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, he just threw that out of nowhere. I've never seen him do that.
I've never seen him. I bet Daniel Bryan's like, you should put me in a tiger suplex. That would be cool.
And if he landed it with the bridge, it would have been awesome, but I didn't think
he was gonna
do that.
No, but it was still really cool. I thought the entire match was just really well done. And then just to make him more of an underdog after the fact, just work over that shoulder some more.
Now, did you see him actually having Triple H take the pin? I mean, in the middle of the ring?
Yeah. I feel like I saw that. I was running around a lot, but he, like, what do you mean? He pinned him in the middle of the ring?
Yeah, he pinned him in with the knee.
With the knee, yeah, with the Kenta knee, right?
Yeah, I think it was the Kenta knee. I don't know. It was just a running knee.
Yeah. Yeah, I pinned him right in the middle.
It was interesting to see that, because I thought Stephanie was going to get involved in that match, but she didn't. She stayed on the outside. I mean, a lot of the spots that they did, I mean, there was just so much. The dive on the outside where looked like Triple H didn't catch him.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, eh, but he caught him okay. It looked like he grazed him. Then he hit the barrier with his legs and hit the back.
Yeah.
He's back on the mat. But what would you give that rating as far as an opening match for WrestleMania?
Before I give you the rating, I also thought it was great that after the match, Stephanie got in the ring and was just slapping him, and he's just laughing at her. Just like, I won.
And there's nothing you can do about it. I'm going to the main event. And I mean, even where he hit the pedigree and him kicking out, I thought, he's going to go, Brian's going to lose, and everybody's just going to be ticked off the whole night.
If that had happened and events that we will talk about had happened, they would have had a near riot on their hands. I can almost guarantee it. But this match, I'd give it – I had no problems with it. I thought it was really well done. Let's go with an 8 because I don't want to give it like a 10-star thing. I'll give it higher than Bret Hart gives matches. How about that?
Wow. Okay. that works. Yeah, I give it about 8.5 I give – just for the work of the two guys in there. I mean,
yes.
Triple H gave up, a lot of himself, gave up, a lot of offense to Bryan and playing that underdog part. And like you said in the last podcast, Triple H being the super heel again, super cerebral assassin. It was interesting to watch. And for the loss, I think people were really surprised. I think it was one of the everybody knew it was coming, but it was one of many shocking events that was going to happen throughout the night.
Yes, indeed.
So the next match, do you have anything else for that match?
No, I just thought it was really well done. I liked the use of the crossface by Triple H. I thought that was interesting.
He's the only one that can use it.
I think he's been the only one who has done it since the events of
a certain particular
person. Yeah, I think he's the only one. Maybe Jericho's done it once, but I don't think so. I think it's only been Triple H.
So now, go off on a tangent real quick. So is it the Silver Dome or is it the Super Dome?
That was brilliant. I thought it at first. I was like, oh man, but then it was he kind of saved it with going, I was thinking about Mania 3, brother, and everyone was like, yeah, whatever, who cares. And it was fun. They The Rock and Hogan played with it, or The Rock and Austin played with it a little bit after that. I thought that was a fun segment. But that was funny that he didn't know where they were.
His old age. He should put glasses on or something and read the cue card.
Yeah.
I mean, he called the network the WWE Universe. So
yes, he did.
Speaking of older superstars, the next match, was the Shield versus Kane and the New Age Outlaws.
Dad Kane and his friends from work.
Pretty much, you gotta love that the wife beater and the, or it's not even a wife beater, it's just a white shirt and black slacks.
And slacks. Oh, Dad Kane, you're my favorite.
You kind of, it looks like Bull from Night Court, if anybody remembers.
Yes, Night Court. I can't remember who said that. Someone at the party said like he looks like the guy from Night Court. That match was basically, that was a squash match. It was
Did you think it needed to be a squash match to follow up?
No.
Really?
I didn't think so. I don't think there should ever be. Okay, this is different now because they already have our money. We're not paying like the $60 or $80 in HD for WrestleMania anymore. So I guess I can be like, yeah, whatever. But I'm telling you, when Brian lost to Sheamus that one time, I was pissed. I was like, we paid $80 for this? For a world title match to be that long? But I mean, I know it's a different, you know, it's a different thing. But I don't think at WrestleMania there should be squash matches.
Yeah, you know what? It was supposed to be a blow-off to the feud, but I just felt like it was just a, let's go from first gear to sixth gear right away. And I don't know what the time was for that. I know, it's kind of the placement for it. I understand why they did it. Because, I mean, how do you, like I said on Josh's podcast, Inconductive, I said, you know, how do you follow that first match? What do you do? I think it was hard for everybody after that to even be on par with that match. I mean, there were moments, but we'll go through the matches and see what you're
doing. Do you want to know how long that match was?
How long was that match?
It was 2 minutes and 55 seconds.
Did you take the time down?
No, I just looked it up on Wikipedia.
Wow.
Remember, John, Wikipedia is your friend.
Oh, now we're plugging Wikipedia. Great.
A near 3 minute long match. Now, I will tell you, when the Shield came down with those crazy masks they were wearing, I was like, I am all for this. I hope they never break up ever because they looked awesome.
Well, they had the Call of Duty Ghost.
Yes.
Ghost masks on.
That's great.
It's a good look for them.
I know it's eventually all good things have to come to an end, but I still say they've done nothing wrong with the Shield. The Shield has been probably one of the best like storylines that I can remember. And I also thought about this, and we'll get back to this in a match that I can't even believe was the second longest match on the card. Anyway, if we are in the reality era, as you know, they coined it a couple of weeks ago. John, if you and I had like a disagreement, we would get over it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We wouldn't have a disagreement and then be bitter enemies for like a year. So that's like with the Shield, they had disagreements. Who's the main guy in the Shield? Oh, we don't know. Oh, we might start fighting each other. Never mind. We're cool. We figured it out. We're a group. We're awesome. Boom. That's it. It's a little spat.
Yeah, it's just a little growing pains for the group. I mean, first time they are together. So that match I'm not even going to rate because it just wasn't.
No. If we really need to rate it, I would give it a 4.
I would give it
a 5. And that's probably being – that's probably – yeah.
Yeah, just because of the names involved. I mean, they got the Shield over.
Yeah,
but big time. I just don't remember much of the match. My memory is seeing Seth Rollins fly around.
Well, you know what the other thing is about that match? I think Billy Gunn got legit hurt, so maybe it wasn't supposed to end that fast.
Well, we'll go into matches that weren't supposed to end the way they were. According to everybody.
All right.
Next match is going to be Cesaro. Cesaro winning the 30 Superstar Andre the Giant Battle Royal Memorial Cup stand.
There you go.
Statue.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Now, my feelings on this one is that who did Rey Mysterio piss off? Two, what was your famous wrestler, JTG?
Where was JTG?
I don't even remember who exactly. I mean, there were people in there that.
Do you? I have the list right now. Do you want me to go over it?
No. Okay. But who are the? Do you remember who the last four were? I know it was
Alberto Del Rio, Sheamus, Big Show, and Cesaro.
Now, going with those four being the last four, who do you think? Did you still think Big Show was going to win?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. He had the one. Come on, he had the one strap. He had the whole deal. I was like, all right, this is so predictable. But you know, man, did they surprise me? I could not believe it.
When you look at Cesaro, he doesn't look like he's the strongest guy. I mean, Claudio Castagnoli, who I met, he wrestled an APW show in Hayward. He's a tall dude. But he doesn't look like a guy that can legitimately pick up an almost 500-pound guy and lift him. I don't care what you say about posting or not. Big Show didn't look like he posted really, but and just pick him up almost over his head and then just throw him over the top.
I could not believe it. Do you know what else was like a very cool spot that I was like?
Don't say the Kofi thing, please.
Why?
Oh, jeez.
His feet didn't touch the floor, man. I hate Kofi Kingston. I hate him. I think he's terrible. But that spot was cool.
Is that if that's what gets him a WrestleMania payday? Then that's all great. But in every battle royal in, he has to do something.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't think it's... I guess it's his gimmick. It looked like he was supposed to... I don't know. It looked like he was supposed to land on the step standing up.
He might have had to have been, but come on. You'd have a guy that body slammed the Big Show. He probably could have shot him three rows into the crowd.
Well, I could have done that, but yeah, the Kofi spot was interesting. Him landing backwards and his feet not touching, was pretty amazing spot. Like I said, Ray was in the match. You didn't really see much out of him. I think he hit the 619 of Cesaro,
And then Cesaro promptly eliminated him. No, he didn't hit him with it. He tried to hit him with it and he stopped him. And then I think he springboarded and he hit him with the European uppercut,
which is a super over move.
Yes. Super I love it. I just love how over he is. It's great.
Which I don't. We're gonna get off track because I think Heyman's a good fit for him. But I mean, to go from one manager to another, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a different conversation for a different day. So him winning it, I think shocked a lot of people.
Especially the way he won it.
Yeah, the body's. I mean, for him to pick him up. I mean, I don't care what. Like I said, I don't care what anybody says. That guy, you have to be insanely strong just to hold him for a couple seconds.
Did you see the side by side with Hogan slamming Andre?
No.
You should find it. If you can't find it, I'll send it to you. It's eerily similar in the way he picks him up.
I'll have to look at it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Cesaro's not as big as Hogan either, so.
No.
But again, you know, he's Cesaro, I don't know, he's just a, it's amazing what he did when he threw him over. And watching it again was, I was like, oh my god, he actually did that. So, again, the second shocking moment, number two for the night. So we're two for two in that. You know what, for a battle royal, almost giving a Royal Rumble feel to it. I give it a 7.5.
Yeah, I would rate it right around there too. I honestly was very underwhelmed with the idea of a battle royal, but I was. Oh, and you know what? It was actually a 31-man battle royal because Cesaro was added.
Was
there
he?
Yes, he wasn't in it at first. There were 31 men.
Huh.
How weird is that? Wow. Yeah.
The more you know.
Anyway, I thought for what it was very good, and I think they're actually going to keep doing it, and I think they're going to make it like, hopefully they make that trophy smaller, but they're going to try and make it like almost like a Stanley Cup kind of thing.
Okay.
Which I think would be okay.
Yeah, I can say, I think it's going to be I think you introduce one staple of the show And then you take away another staple of the show, which I'm looking forward to that conversation in just a little bit.
Well, we still have one match before we get
yes,
there.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So next match is Bray Wyatt against John Cena. Now, for this match, what I found interesting is that if there's somebody had a sign that says, if John wins, we Wyatt. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
The guy's like that's four great. Rows back on the left-hand side. Yeah. Yeah,
that's funny.
If Cena wins, we Wyatt. I was like, that is a smart, yes. smart guy. Who and yeah. So the match itself, I have to say, it really put Bray over.
Yes, it did. I loved everything, but you know, it was so. Actually, there's one thing I didn't like about this match. The one thing I didn't like about this match is we've been building this whole thing for so long, right? It's been like this big thing. John Cena's going to overcome his fears and Bray Wyatt's going to like drive him to become the monster. And they start out with like a headlock, like these two guys. And it's just like a headlock right away. I was like, really?
Hey, you got Triple H doing Tiger suplexes, and you got John Cena doing headlocks. You know,
I guess that's true.
Yeah, what's John Cena gonna do? Do an avalanche powerbomb, which was kind of done by Daniel Bryan in the match, but I digress. but you know, it's almost like the story of Star Wars. You know, with Darth Wyatt and you know John Cena.
I can do you one better. It's like Batman and the Joker.
You know what? Yes. I said that before to somebody. Yes.
It's like Batman and the Joker. It was brilliant. I love it. I thought it was so well done.
Do you think it was corny that Cena was, you know, his acting is... I mean, I wasn't really fond of the Marine, so...
I never saw it. I just... It's very... odd for him to be scared, you know? It just seems like too unbelievable for me.
Well, I don't think the came across too well, his conflictedness, I guess.
I thought when, like, he with the chair, I thought that was very good. Like, I legitimately thought at some points he was going to hit him. I just really liked that match, and I didn't think it would be as good as it was. And the crowd was amazing, chanting. He's got the whole world in his hands,
and they're swaying back and forth.
Oh, that was so cool. And we didn't even talk about the band playing him in with the plague masks. That was amazing.
Who's that band? What are they called?
I don't know. It's whoever does the song. I don't know what their name is, but. That was great. That was really cool.
You got to look at it too. I mean, it's almost you're right. It's like the Joker and Batman. I think that you know, I think if Cena had used the chair, I don't think it would have made him a bad guy.
No, it wouldn't have. The band is called Mark Crozer.
Oh well, search iTunes for that. I don't get any kickbacks for the. Band names, nor do I get kickbacks or anything else.
The thing about Cena, and I had said this on Twitter, is I didn't feel like a win or loss. I felt like a loss didn't hurt John Cena at all.
He doesn't need to win.
He's to the point, yeah, where he doesn't need to win. He'll always be John Cena, no matter what. Like he's their guy. So at this point, I feel like it doesn't hurt him to lose. But at the same point, after the match, I was like, oh, this didn't hurt Bray Wyatt at all. I thought that match was really, really good.
Yeah, no, I think it really brought out Bray as far as a heel. Almost, you know, he's going to his knees and he's saying, you know, hit me with it.
Yeah.
You know, because he doesn't care if he wins or loses. Win, lose, or draw. He's going to get people to do what he wants. And if he has to sacrifice himself to make John Cena be a hypocrite.
The villain. Yeah, villain, the monster.
Not the Phantom Menace. No, no.
Not the, not the Phantom Menace. No.
Jar Jar maybe, but not the Phantom. I know a lot of people are groaning at those remarks and don't want to remember That shout out to Josh on the 98 Godzilla.
You're pushing it. Wanted to love it so bad. The soundtrack was great, right?
It was awesome with Heroes by
Wallflowers.
Yeah, and then
Jamiroquai.
Yes.
Deeper Underground. Yeah, come on.
Good soundtrack, but Matthew Broderick. Yeah. We're getting into something I have no idea about, so I'm not even going to venture into the Godzilla.
All right, we won't. It's fine.
Speaking of the unknown.
All right, here we go. Are you excited? I'm excited.
So let's looking at your picture on Facebook and seeing the picture after this match happened was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Did I post any more of them?
No.
Oh, I didn't. I'm telling you right now, if he had taken video of this, we would have had at least, I'd say, 4,000 hits, because I was so loud. People on my softball team were like, "We've never heard you so loud, and you're loud at softball, and we've never heard you so loud in you know, our lifetime."
So now going into this match, and my initial feeling on this match when I first saw it, the first go around, have you watched the match again?
I have not. I haven't watched any. I didn't watch the whole match. I just watched the ending because I had missed most of it.
Was this due to Costco?
No, this was due to me celebrating. And actually, the stream had cut out at one point here.
Oh, no. So for us, it didn't cut out. It was flawless.
Well, it was because we had the two running.
Right, I think. Probably.
Yeah. When we cut back in, it was F5, 1, 2, 3, and everyone was like, "What?" And I went out and I was like, "Did this seriously just happen?" And I see all the people on the TV shocked, and I just started howling because I couldn't believe it.
Well, first off, Undertaker's entrance we timed, it was like 7 minutes and 10 seconds.
Yeah, we did that too.
But I mean, going into that match, I mean, it seemed like Undertaker was just having a hard time
throughout the match. I can tell you right now, this match was 25 minutes long. It was, honestly, I think has to be one of the worst matches the Undertaker's ever had. I thought it was terrible.
You know, and looking, you know, I rewatched it, and I was like, man, I was trying to find, because apparently he got a concussion.
Yes.
I don't know when. There was one where he took something for Brock, a spine buster or something, and it looked like his head snaps back on the mat.
Yeah.
It might have been the power, it might have been when Brock, he had him in the Gogo Plata, and Brock picked him up and he dropped him back down, and it looks like Taker's head smacked the mat.
Yeah, I remember people reacting to that here, like his head hit real hard on the mat.
So, if you looked at it, it was almost more like just a fight. It wasn't a right. It puts a lot of pressure on him every year to deliver the match that everybody wants. And with the streak being over, he doesn't have that pressure anymore.
Honestly, I would be very surprised if he wrestles next year.
Well, the rumor is.
Yeah, the stinger. I know.
But I mean, the quality of match for Taker, I guess we're too accustomed to seeing, you know, his matches with Shawn and Triple H, and
even his match with Punk last year was great. I thought
Punk, I think, should have gotten the win.
I 100% agree.
And the only reason I think that it wasn't going to happen, or I think one of the reasons that it did happen with Brock is, if you remember a couple years ago when Brock was in UFC and Taker said, "Are you going to, you want to do this?"
Yeah.
And I think he was telling Brock, "If you come back, I will let you."
Well, that was the thing. If we want to get a little TMZ here, I have read that he wanted Lesnar to break it, like a couple of years ago. And that was before the two times with Shawn Michaels, the two times with Triple H, and the one time with Punk. So it's almost like he was waiting for Lesnar to come back and finish up whatever he was doing with everyone else so he could give him the streak.
You know, and here's the thing, and I people are saying Brock shouldn't have been the guy to do it, but I said it too. After it was my initial reaction after, but Brock is the only legitimate real badass that's shown that has done everything. He's done the MMA, legit mm-hmm. guy that should have beaten Undertaker. There's nobody else in that locker room that has the accolades that Brock does.
And if we're in the reality era, you could not convince me that a near 50-year-old man could beat a former UFC heavyweight champion.
And not a guy that was in the UFC for 5 years. No, he was in there a year or two? Three?
Yeah, he wasn't there for that long.
And he,
dominated.
He dominated. They're one of their biggest draws as far as in pay-per-view wise.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I think looking at it that way, I think Brock was the right guy to do it. People are we're talking about how Brock's a part time guy. Taker's a part time guy. He only wrestles once a year.
Taker's not even a part time guy. He's a part time guy. He's a temp. He wrestles once a year.
He's the consultant for WrestleMania, pretty much.
Basically.
But I mean, looking at the finish of the match, I think I've never seen a crowd almost go silent.
It was amazing,
and the guy the one black dude
in yes. the shirt
who's memed all over the place now.
Yeah, he's famous now. He made himself famous. Like, do you know what the other thing that is really annoying about this is? I heard people were leaving.
They did their job then.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you bought a ticket to WrestleMania and you're going to leave because that happened. You're supposed to, we're going to get our Daniel Bryan moment.
Right.
Come on, Taker Marks.
Well, and I mean, looking at it, people were upset the next day, or they thought the story going around was Vince didn't like the finish and Taker changed it himself and it wasn't supposed to happen.
Oh, there were so many stories. There was like in the middle of the match, they changed it.
You aren't there, you don't know. And if it made yeah. you if it made you decide if it made you believe that it wasn't supposed to happen, then they did their job.
Do you know who said it best? I believe Double D Dave Dutra said it best. He wrote a big long Facebook update and I read it and I went, "That's perfect. If you want somebody to be mad at The Undertaker because there's no way that anyone else said you're going to get pinned." Besides, there's no way,
right?
Because they love the streak, and the more I hear about it, like the Undertaker's like trying to pick guys up off the road, being like, "You're gonna break the streak," and they're like, "The hell, you're not."
Yeah, like I mean, there's a long lineage of guys that the Undertaker has beaten, and then Brock, for better or worse, I think was looking back in hindsight in the match. Was the right guy to do it. But yeah, Undertaker, another year, I don't know. I mean, he's got 12 months to heal up. And I think there's not going to be that pressure on him. I think with possibly Sting coming in.
I'm hearing that contract is sitting in his house right now, waiting to be signed.
Well, that's what the rumor is. Until I see him actually in a rafter in the ring.
yeah, that's what everybody's saying.
But I mean, you got to look at it too. I mean, this is the worst time. I mean, granted, it would have been the worst Monday Night Raw, I think, to come back on.
Oh, yeah.
And the timing of everything with the Ultimate Warrior passing away, and
well, yeah,
it wasn't going to work. And Taker, from all accounts, did actually pass out in the back, and they had to take him to an ambulance. And
yeah, legit.
Vince McMahon has never left the main event and going with Undertaker to the hospital. Yeah, I for everybody says that Vince was angry. It's ridiculous. And nobody was there, but from what I read, he actually legitimately did go to the hospital for a concussion.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but I think going to knowing that he was hurt and he wasn't doing a lot of stuff that you're used to seeing with Taker. He didn't do the dive. He kept it so slow.
He just looked beat.
And Brock, I mean, doing the best he can. I mean, it was more of a fight than a wrestling match. Usually, you're seeing Taker doing his usual spots, but I mean,
yeah,
and then stealing nothing. And then stealing Sheamus's forearm hits on the outside on the apron.
Oh jeez,
I was like that kind. I was like, but I think for the match, for a Taker match, I think it's a 4 out of 5, 4 out of 10, 5 maybe, just because
I'd give it a, yeah, I give it a 4.
And that's not a knock on his legacy or him, but I just
think, no, not at all. It's just where he is right now.
21 years and longer in the WWE. Sometimes it's got to end. I think, and like I said, the ending of the match and the finish, people were just silent. And I think it should have been. I don't know if I would have put it where they put it as the match wise, because it really took away from the main event.
Yeah, it did a little. It took the wind out of the sails. But then, what do you? You can't move that main event and have Brock Taker
or even Cena and Bray move up one. But I mean, still, you're not.
Oh, you know what? That would have been no, because man, where do you put that match? If that's the finish, where do you put it?
You can't. I mean, people are. Yeah, I mean, we're not even. I'm not even getting into the Divas match. I really don't miss. AJ Lee, Miss Savior of the Divas Division.
Okay, I love it. I love the finish though.
Best diva in the world.
The finish was good though. Come on, she was tapping her arm out. That was pretty clever.
Yeah.
Come on, I haven't seen that in a while.
I wasn't watching. Honestly, I don't remember a lot of the match. I just remember her winning it, and
yeah,
I was like, okay. So let's get
It was two times longer than the Shield Dad Kane match.
Oh my God! So the big main event of the night is going to be Daniel Bryan against Randy Orton against Mr. Batista. I wear Jordans to the ring with green sleeve, neon green sleeves.
Oh boy!
Big bad Dave. My skinny jeans are too tight and they rip. Batista. what did you? You know what? I really think it held next to Bryan's first match. I think for Bryan to wrestle the way he did the first match and come back out and dominate almost at the beginning and then, kind of the Shield reforming in the middle of that match. What was your take on it? It was kind of a weird match, again, being kind of still shocked from The Undertaker and going into that match. What was your take on that match?
I thought it was very good. I think Randy Orton needs to be given a decent amount of credit, especially going after he did the, I guess you would call it the Batista bomb RKO, right onto his back, right onto a monitor.
That nobody saw, and they thought they probably pulled all the monitors, and he just...
And he, I can tell, man, that looks so, he looked like he was in a lot of pain.
And Bryan is just like, eh.
Yeah, and he just kept going, which, credit to him. Batista.
He did the right thing.
Yeah.
I think. And then with Bryan doing the Mick Foley spot, which I'm surprised they didn't roll him all the way to the back at him coming down the
ramp with a
gurney and an IV.
Yeah. I was very surprised they didn't do that. Or he just rolls down the ramp on it, like riding it like a surfboard.
That'd have been awesome. That'd have been a good visual. But then him just eating it probably halfway down wouldn't have been that great.
Yeah.
But no, I think with him, I really thought they were not going to give him the belt after that spot.
Oh really? You didn't think he was going to win?
I didn't think he was, only for the fact that I would have seen him come back at another pay per view and win it, and kind of again once again swerve all the fans. But I was like, he's going to get off that at some point. And do that whole bit, but no, I thought after that he should have been completely out, which was amazing.
I think, I don't know, I just really enjoyed the match overall. I think everyone did the right thing, / they did a good job. I loved the visual of Batista in the, it was Batista who tapped, right?
Yes, it was.
Him in the yes lock and Orton like trying to like reaching to try and get in
now
to
help. That what was. What did you think about? Did you think with Triple H and Stephanie and Scott Armstrong coming out, did you think that was going to be it? Like he was going to lose the belt or lose the match, Brian losing the match at that point?
No, man. I just, yeah, we have there. I didn't think there's any way he was losing this match. There's absolutely no way that he would lose this match. I was very happy to see Scott Armstrong, though.
It's like, yes, I get my payday. Because I didn't know who the referee was at the main event. I've never seen that guy before.
Yeah, he was a new guy, I think. I'd never seen him before either.
But did you see where Stephanie messed up her ankle?
Yeah.
I mean, Brian, it's not Brian's fault. Because he hit Triple H on the dive.
Yeah.
And then Scott Armstrong kind of bumped into Stephanie, and Stephanie fell wearing, what, 3-inch heels?
Yeah, that's like her bad.
Idiot. Yeah. Tweaking her ankle.
But yeah, I did see that when I was like, oh boy.
But I think Batista taking the submission and submitting in the middle of the ring, I think it was a perfect way to end WrestleMania. I think having that moment there and seeing all those fans chanting, yes, I mean, that's insane. Just one word gets over like that and 70,000 people are chanting it.
Yeah, man. It was great.
WrestleMania, as the King called it at the beginning of the pay-per-view.
There were WrestleMania shirts going around. And but yeah, man.
So now how would you give, what rating would you give that match?
I'd probably stick with an 8.
Yeah, I'd say about an 8 too. I think what took away from it a little bit was having Triple H come back out.
Yeah, I didn't need that. And what he was like in a full like tracksuit.
He's like, oh.
He looked like Antonio Cesaro.
Well, what's funny is that after the match, Brian's shoulder was fine.
Yeah, because he was so excited, dude, that he just realized his dream. That it did, the pain didn't matter to him anymore.
Nor did it matter on the next night on Raw.
K5.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they don't want to bring that attention to that. But, yeah, just, you know what, it was, looking back at the show again, I thought it was one of the better WrestleManias. You watch it again, I think it was one of the better WrestleManias. I think it was better than last year. I think it gave you definitely some interesting moments, more WrestleMania moments than past years. I know I said on a previous podcast that it didn't have that, but rewatching it again, and looking at it, you know, it was one of their better WrestleManias. I think for the $10 that people spent, you know, for the network, even if you just were going to cancel it after,
yeah,
rewatching it and rewatching everything else again, I thought it was worth the $10. Oh, and, no, and the stream was flawless on. Well, I watched it at Josh's house. Flawless with. You know, I'm sure their techs and all their server guys are going crazy making sure that the stream was running flawlessly.
Yeah.
Those guys didn't work for ROH, apparently.
No, they did not.
And shout out to ROH for getting the rub on the Daniel Bryan documentary on the network. I don't know if you watched that.
Oh, yeah, right? No, my roommate was telling me about it. Yeah, there's ROH stuff in there.
Which they don't mention Punk.
No, man. Did you notice when they were doing the Undertaker video package? No Punk.
Oh, yeah. I noticed him getting pinned. I think there's a shot of him getting pinned. But you just see his legs.
I don't think there was. Did he have a casket out there?
No. No, he did. He did.
He did?
Yeah. Of course he did.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, of course they're going to show that. That guy, I don't know. I mean, he did a good solid by leaving because he gave Brian his moment.
Yep.
I mean, after, you know, working so hard and, you know, getting fired the first time and coming back and, you know, all these people. I mean, from here on out, whatever happens. But
I'm ecstatic. He's the man right now.
You know, and he, whatever happens, you know, if they make him look stupid for the next year, that's fine. He has his WrestleMania moment. He has his WrestleMania bonus, too.
Yes.
Which I'm sure he's not complaining about. But yeah, like I said, looking back, I think the show was an 8. I think 8.5.
Yeah.
I know we had a discussion, and you were probably in shock why I gave it a 7. But rewatching it again brought it that point, a point and a half up. So I was really excited for that. But yeah, I mean, the overall good show. I think they, you know, there's probably a lot of stress. Number one, for the network. Number two, I think they were, you know, for the, you know, pulling the trigger on an Undertaker thing. That's gutsy, because that was the main attract. That was one of the attractions.
Yeah.
That people, then they, people were, knew that Taker was going to win, but I mean, it's just, okay, is he going to lose it this year? To have that go away, to maybe Taker's final match being in Santa Clara next year, or I'm sorry, Silicon Valley, because they're not
Yeah, get it right.
Because they don't want to put Santa Clara on there.
No, they don't.
I absolutely no reason why they won't put, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Whatever. But,
hey, so going back to the when we first, so what did, what did Josh say to you when you saw him?
he said, oh, okay, so I walked up to him and he's like, what's your problem? What's the problem with you in the streak, man? And I just laughed at him and I said, well, just listen to this podcast. I guess we didn't really talk what my problem with the streak was.
So you let's go. We'll go back to that. So what was your problem with the streak?
I've never been an Undertaker fan. I just have never liked him. There was one instance that I did like him, and I believe it was, we couldn't pinpoint the date, but I believe it was a Survivor Series match when he had the, you know, he lifted up his coat and he had the old U.S. flag in his jacket. Do you remember that?
Yes. Was it during the American Badass?
No. See, everyone thinks it was that. No, it was way before that. It was like when he was still...
Was it before the his one horrible theme song?
Or yes, music? Yes, yes. The worst theme song of all time. Really, no, it's not the worst. But it was... I want to say it was like... dude, I don't know. It was a Survivor Series, and it was when he was like a good guy for like the first time.
Huh. Okay.
So it was way back in the day. That's the only time in my memory. I hated American Badass Undertaker. That was so dumb.
Ministry Taker wasn't the best.
Ministry Taker was okay. But the thing that I hated the most, this was when I just started flat out hating the Undertaker. Do you remember when he came back and everyone was like, oh, he's coming back as like the original Undertaker, like with the, do you remember that? Like, yes. It was after the American Badass thing and he was coming back at WrestleMania, I think. And he came out and he was wearing the MMA gloves.
Oh, geez. Yes.
And I was like, that I'm done.
Even the five count guys were shocked that you said what you said. It was like blasphemy.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I've never liked the Undertaker. I also hear like backstage stories kind of like of him being like, oh, this guy can't work and stuff like that, and getting guys fired. I've heard
he's definitely not one to mess with. I mean,
well, yeah, I mean,
I think he's kind of earned that right in a sense that, I mean, he does. He, I mean, for being as over as he is, he hasn't really won as much as he has lost.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't. I mean, he can lose throughout the whole year and go into WrestleMania and win, and you wouldn't remember the losses that he had for the previous year.
Yeah. I don't know. I just never a fan. I just, that's not to say I don't like respect what he's done, but it's just, I'm not a fan. I just don't.
You know what's going to happen? Care. You're gonna be sleeping in bed tonight, and then you hear a gong.
I'd be like, shouldn't you like be in Texas or something? You should not be breaking into my house. Please leave.
Smoke under your door and the, you know, purple light, and it would just, I don't know. I'm surprised.
I'd be like, oh, you have legitimate superpowers? Shouldn't you be doing something else then?
Instead of coming to my house and...
Yeah. Shouldn't you be saving the world? Yeah, everyone loves you, under Mark. Let's go.
Yeah. We'll see. But I do. I mean, if he's going to retire, I don't see it being him entered in the Hall of Fame until they go into the Hall of Fame in Texas.
I do have another gripe with, and I get it, but okay. Did you watch the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
How in the world are you going to pay respects to your friend who is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame in character wearing your MMA gloves? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. That's so dumb. I get it. You already did this. You already paid respects for him that way, but you can't. I get it. You're the Undertaker. That's cool. But this is, you can't not be the Undertaker for like 3 minutes. It's just annoying. That's like if what did I say? I'm like, why didn't DX come out? Why aren't they all dressed like they were in like 95? Or 97. Why didn't everyone else come out in character?
Well, Scott Hall, aka Razor Ramon, came out kind of in character.
Oh, well, that's because they want to induct NWO as a whole or some thing like that. I don't know.
Not that nobody knows Scott Hall is Razor Ramon, but
yeah, right. Anyway, I know I'm kind of nitpicking, but I don't like the Undertaker.
Hashtag hate taker.
Hate taker.
Team hate taker. How about that?
No.
No.
The only taker I enjoy is the whack taker. So there.
Oh, well, shout out to Josh. Well, he on his podcast, you'll hear it. He just listen to it. He makes a after I shout you out, he says something after. That's pretty hilarious.
I'll listen to it.
Listen to it. It's pretty funny. Well, we're coming up to our time, and I know right now it's Game of Thrones o'clock for some people.
Oh boy, yeah.
So now, what do you think about? Have you read the books?
I have not.
Okay. Yeah. That's stay off of Twitter. Stay off of Facebook. Stay off of.
Well, I already know. People are already ruining it, but
they're already ruining it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's okay though. It's I'm gonna watch it right now.
Enjoy it. I think it was. I think they've started off really, really strong this season. I think we just finished watching Mad Men, so that was a good episode. But yeah, no, I was really, really surprised at what happened. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting season.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't have known if I hadn't have gone on Tumblr. Thanks, Tumblr.
Hey, you know, Tumblr messes up everything.
It really does.
I still got to figure out what Tinder is, but whatever.
No, you don't. But
you know nothing, Jon Snow. So with that being said, well, not you, Jon.
No, I love it. I love it.
So on that note, we're going to go ahead and sign off here. I want to thank everybody for listening. Hope you enjoyed the last two episodes. I am going to record with my wife at some point.
Yeah, man. Stop recording with me.
I know, and talking about wrestling, which she's not going to listen to anyways. She just nodded her head. So, but no, I want to thank everybody for listening. I think we're in two episodes now into the new year. So just whenever I get time doing it, wrestling is going to be interesting in the reality era, I guess, for this next year. We'll see what happens. But yeah, no, next year, WrestleMania 31. Yep. And Santa Clara, Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley.
Which, I mean, it's going to be, there are going to be workers everywhere.
Oh, right? I can't wait. I'm so excited.
And they're all going to go to San Francisco. You know that.
Yeah.
You're not going to see them at, what is it? That Irish restaurant, that Irish pub place off of Bowers.
Oh boy. I know what you're talking about.
It looks like the restaurant that was in that movie, Waiting.
It
was Shenanigans in the movie.
Yeah, I was going to call it Shenanigans.
It was Bennigan's, I think.
It's Bennigan's,
yeah. Is it Bennigan's?
Yeah.
You're not going to see him hanging out there or hanging out at the Jack in the Box.
They're not going to... Dude, the Iguanas is right across the street.
I don't think they're going to stay at that Hilton. They could.
Why wouldn't they? It's right there.
Yeah, well, but it should be. I mean, we'll see what going into who's kind of the big star at that point. I think it's kind of up in the air right now who's gonna be in the main event.
Yeah, right. Should be interesting.
I mean, I don't see Triple H being in there, and John Cena. Who's he gonna work with? It's gonna be interesting to see who's going into that one. But like I said, thanks for everybody listening. You can catch me on Twitter at HeadInTheSand32. You can also catch John at. What's your Twitter name? Because everybody has it, apparently, and you have more followers than...
I'm at Team Hate on Twitter.
And if you want to see John live and in color, you can watch the podcast or the video cast
yes.
that he was on, and you want to give a shout-out to the link to that or...
TheFiveCount.com, at TheFiveCount. Check them out.
You can also check out, we mentioned Josh, you can at Inconductic on Twitter, check out his podcast he does weekly. Yeah, the Five Count guys are, I've listened to a couple of the episodes that they have up, but definitely they're fair. Have they invited you back yet? Because I know they were giving you gripe about not having them come over to your house.
They have indeed invited me back. We're going to do another Losers of Wrestling Roundtable, and we're going to be reviewing the Intercontinental Championship.
So stay tuned for that. But once again, thank you for everybody listening. Have a great week. Watch Game of Thrones. And yeah, I won't spoil it for anything, even though people will listen to this a week later. So enjoy, everybody. Have a great week.